NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Oh, I love that theme music. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn, Rod Davis, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn, my man CJ Boga right there. See, boom, I'm gonna fumble my thumb right there. Goes right there, boom, there he is. And of course, the coach, former high school football coach at Brownwood, Belton, Capel, Rotan, also Burnett, was a college football player at Abilene Christian, coached there as well, coached on the staff at Texas in multiple occasions as well for different coaches. And now you can catch his work. Look at that. Boom. We represent ShipleyRanches.com. It's Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, man? Hope everybody was safe last night and all the bad weather.
Yes. Crazy. Tornadoes and stuff.
Pretty crazy in Temple. I haven't heard of many fatalities. I got a lot of friends there. There was a lot of damage, but golly, prayers for all those people without a place to stay tonight.
No, thank you for that, Coach. Yeah, you're right about that. We should make sure that we mention those on our hearts and on our minds if you're dealing with some difficult times because of the crazy extreme weather. Got some tornadoes popping up all over Texas. So our thoughts and prayers, thinking about those out there who may be in danger. Please stay safe. Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate all you guys joining us for the Winning Drive here on Texas Football. Now, we may be, you know what? We're going to just tease it. Javion Cole is coming up, joining us later on at around 5 o'clock, 5-ish. We're expecting Javion Cole, the cornerback for the University of Texas via the transfer portal. He is expected to come on with us via my man Jerry Hamilton hooking it up. So he's going to come on with us at 5 o'clock. Boom. Putting it out there. That's going to be good mojo. So we know it's going to be a damn good show because we're going to have a very special guest joining us, Javion Cole, around 5-ish. We got a lot of different topics that we're going to discuss, but none of them more important than whatever you want to discuss. So hit us up. Super chats can interrupt the show at any time. They jump to the front of the line, but all of your questions, we'll get to as many of them as we can. So we appreciate you guys helping us build this Owen, Texas football community and family. Also later on, I want to get to a couple of different topics on the show. We'll talk, of course, a lot about the team, but I want to talk about some specific topics that are out there. There's a list of the most experienced offensive lines in the SEC for the 2024 season. I want to talk to you guys where the Longhorns stand there in terms of their experience on the O-line compared to the rest of the SEC. There are some five-star rankings that came out from 247 Sports. CJ, you know, obviously that can change. You know, guys can get five stars. Some guys can gain more of a rating in recruiting, which is, I think, it's the start of it. So these are 247 Sports. I think 32 five-star players that they listed. I want to get your thoughts because there are a lot of potential targets for the Longhorns among those 32 five stars in that 2025 class. I want to get your thoughts about that a little bit later on too. And there is the changing landscape of college football that it's hard not to discuss, gentlemen. I'm sure you have been keeping up with it, but the NCAA Board of Governors actually approved the antitrust settlement in the House versus the NCAA case, which essentially means, Coach, the NCAA has approved for players to be paid and compensated, which is something we never thought the NCAA would agree to. Hell, the NCAA really didn't agree to NIL. NIL was forced on them. They didn't want to do that either. But we're in a different day and age. What a time to be alive. The NCAA Board of Governors agreeing, approving the antitrust settlement, which we know will be part of a new framework of college sports, which will have revenue sharing with the players as a part of that new framework. So I want to get you guys' thoughts about that. It's going to happen. We just don't really know the timetable at this point. So questions, comments, they jump to the front of the line. Hit us up at any time. We'll get to as many of them as we can. I want to start off, guys, with some, I guess it's a new era on the University of Texas, because I did see via social media, it came across my timeline, that the SEC logo is now being painted on the field at DKR Stadium, and I imagine it's probably being changed a lot of different sports as well. But there you go, gentlemen. It is a new era, the end of an old era, though, Coach. All right, the Big 12 era. So I want to let's, you know, since we do have a little time here, I would like to recollect a little bit and harken back of, you know, your time in the Big 12. Do we believe ultimately Texas football? What will you remember about Texas football's time in the Big 12? Ultimately, now they're going to the SEC. What's, you know, what is your, what in your opinion, what is Texas' legacy in the Big 12, football-wise?
Yeah, for me personally, you know, obviously there's some bright spots there. 2005 and 2008, 2009, of course we won it. 2005 we won it, but you know, a lot of disappointment. It really, I mean, you know, a lot of false hope. I guess, you know, I guess we won the first conference championship. We won the last conference championship. We got the bookends. But in the middle, a lot of heartbreak. A lot of heartbreak, a lot of disappointment, a lot of underachieving in my mind. Yeah. But there were certainly some good times. But there were some pretty bleak times in there, too, in my mind.
CJ, your thoughts, because I don't know, I when I was thinking about it, and I kind of agreed with Coach for the most part. I remember those highs, but I think ultimately there was, Texas could have and should have achieved more in the Big 12 football wise that ultimately, you know, as a program, yes, there were times, and hope I was on some of those teams that won 11 games, but even teams I was on, you know, we should have won a Big 12 title. Texas probably left 3-4 conference championships on the table in the Big 12. They should have. How many did Oklahoma end up with during?
Well, they ended up with 6 in a row, right? I mean, there's a time in which they dominated the conference, and I think they're walking out of it feeling a little bit differently than what Texas is feeling. And I'm with you, Coach. It, when I look back at Texas's time in the Big 12, it just feels like a lot of frustration, right? You know, it feels like a lot of missed opportunities, some shaky quarterback play, some less than desirable coaching along the way, some prospects that may have, you know, not lived up to potential. And, you know, you look at some of those home losses and it kind of feels like, yeah, like I'm ready to shut that chapter of the Texas football era and see what's beyond. And I think in a way, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, you close the South end zone and in a way it kind of foreshadows the closing of the chapter of the Big 12. You know, you have the brand new shiny stadium, you have the lights, and now you're putting the final pieces on it today with the SEC logo. You're in a way basically metaphorically shutting the door on what the Big 12 meant for Texas football, and I'm all for it. Of course, you know, Texas did close things out with a bang. They brought home some hardware. They added another number up to you know, the facade over at DKR. But other than that, a lot of frustration, a lot of games that Texas probably left a lot of fans wondering and hoping for more. And you know, right now, you can't lose to Kansas at home in the SEC. And I think that's a lot of folks looking at that are very excited for that reason.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it does seem it kind of leads us to the next topic here. And congratulations are in order for Chris Del Conte. He won Athletic Director of the Year, Sports Business Journal honored him with the Athletic Director of the Year Award just yesterday. And it is fitting because Texas, it feels like, and I meant to ask, I was talking to John Bianco for our third Longhorns podcast. Shout out to my man Nick Shuley and Alex Oka for Fozzie Whitaker, Jeremy Hills, and my man Derek Johnson, who we do the show with. But I meant to ask him this, dude, does he believe Texas is embarking on a golden era potentially of Texas sports, period? Because they just won 15 conference championships out of 21 varsity sports. Right now, Texas sports is on a high. That was a conference record, by the way, for a number of championships won by just one athletic department on Texas farewell tour of the Big 12. And it is fitting because CDC is a big part of that. He's done a great job helping put the BBs back in the box. He's done a really good job fundraising. He's a man of the people. Everybody loves CDC. Well, they love him because his programs win, and there's a standard his programs live up to. And, you know, that I think it is fitting because, you know, Texas going into the SEC, the level of play, the competition level, obviously, in a lot of sports, football being the most notable, is going to ratchet up to a higher level. But Longhorn fans aren't necessarily, I mean, this is crazy because Longhorn fans aren't anxious about this. They aren't paranoid about this. They're actually looking forward to it. There's a lot of that. We just talked about kind of the down times of Texas in the Big 12, but there's so much optimism in the program right now. It is embodied by CDC and what he has done. But I haven't seen this much optimism, coach, in the Texas program, man, probably since the early 2000s to mid 2000s, when Longhorn fans knew they were going to win a championship. They just didn't know. They didn't know how long it was going to take. Yeah. Right around that, when we started winning like 11 games, and consistently around that time, early, it was around 01, 02. We came close. Hell, we should have played for a national title, coach. We disappointed. I'm part of that disappointment. I own that too. But there was Longhorn fans at that point. I remember talking to fans. They knew they were close. They knew Mac was really, that was part of the frustration. He was really, really close. Stoops had already done it. And you knew it was a matter of time that Mac was going to do it. They just didn't want it to be too long. Feels that way again. In terms of the optimism Longhorn fans have behind this program.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll tell you something. As somebody who worked for Mack Brown and somebody who worked for Chris Del Conte, they're a lot alike. They're a lot alike in ways that outsiders don't see and don't understand. To the outside of the building, they are they're heroes. They're legends. They treat everybody the way you want to be treated. You know, Mack Brown, when you're talking to him, he makes you feel like you're the most important person in his life at that time. Chris Del Conte has that same ability.
Yeah, he does.
So don't let that confuse you, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what, the man is a tiger. So is Mack Brown. Those guys, when you work for them, they are incredibly demanding and they demand excellence. I mean, that they don't mind calling a spade a spade. They will call you out. They expect you to win national championships and win conference championships, compete for national championships. And if there's something not going right, they will get it taken care of, and it's not pretty. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, They're great guys. I love them to death. And the reason they're successful is because they take care of their business. They have very high expectations from their staff. I'm talking about with Chris Del Conte, it's from the head coaches all the way to the custodians and the people that work in DKR during the games and at, you know, all the facilities. He is very demanding and he wants it done right. And I think that's the key to his success. But everybody in that building admires him. Both of those guys. Right now, of course, we're talking about CDC. Everybody admires him because they see that what he does and what he demands of people, the results of that is success. Yep. Okay. And so he pushes everybody to be better. And he challenges you every single day. Are you doing the best? Are you, if you're a custodian, are you the best custodian in the country? If you're not, why not? You know, if you're a coach, are you the best in the country? If not, what are you doing to try to get at that level? You know, so there's a lot of pressure on people in that building and in that department to perform up to his standards. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that we have him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I mean, CDC has been a grand slam home run of a hire for an athletic director. There's no doubt about that. And seems to check all the boxes for Texas. All right, so I wanted to give a shout-out to Chris Del Conte for winning the Athletic Director of the Year Award and let people know, yes, it's official, at least on the field. They're starting to paint the SEC logo on the field. But let's get to some ball here before we have our special guest on. We're expecting Javion Cole, the newest Longhorn member of the DBU, newest member of DBU. He's going to join us around 5-ish, so we're really looking forward to that. So I saw this from SEC Mike, who covers the SEC, of course. But he did a breakdown of the offensive line and the returning snaps on the offensive line for the SEC team for the 2024 season. Gentlemen, got the Longhorns. That's the most experienced offensive line in the SEC. How you like that? Talking about a line of scrimmage league. So, and CJ, I know you've been doing the numbers on this because you've been number crunching. In terms of the mass, so now we know Texas has the most experienced offensive line. Where they are in the girth side, I know you I probably shouldn't use that word, but you know what I'm talking about. How in the mass department, where is the Texas offensive line compared to the other SEC schools?
Yeah, with the addition of Cameron Williams to right tackle, who you're expecting to be your bookend starter over there opposite of Kelvin Banks, Texas would have an average weight on their offensive line of 332 pounds, which pretty big. Pretty big, Rod. You haven't seen many offensive lines like that recently. That would have been second largest in the SEC a year ago, only behind Alabama. So Texas, the big human movement has come to fruition. You're certainly seeing that on the field. You're seeing that in the recruiting ranks as well, and certainly on the depth chart with 17 Longhorns across all five positions, looking like that room is not going to have any shortage of talent. Alabama, again, the only offensive line with a larger average weight on their starting five. Texas number two at 332 pounds. And that's even with Jake Majors, you know, and Hayden Connor in the middle there, who aren't pushing a whole lot of weight. But again, you have DJ Campbell at right guard, who was at 340 pounds a year ago. He slimmed down a little bit. But I do think right now, with the way things are looking, Texas will have one of the larger offensive lines in the SEC, something that was a question mark to a lot of folks outside of the Texas circle. How well would they be prepared for the movement to the trenches with the SEC? Right now, I would say that movement is going to be pretty, pretty good with the amount of weight and size that they have loaded up on the offensive line.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Coach, what are your thoughts looking at the returning production on the offensive line in the SEC? I'm looking at some of the opponents Texas has to play. Well, Texas plays three of the top five here too, guys. The good news is Texas is the most experienced offensive line in the SEC. Well, the bad news is you got to play three of the top five most experienced offensive lines in the SEC.
Four of the bottom as well, though. Four of the five bottom.
That's a good point. That's
fair. Yes. Well, my point, you know, I kind of look at things a little differently than most people do, just from my experience. But you look at those bottom three, you know, that's not saying that they're not going to be any good.
No,
OU may be over there going, thank God only 17% of those god-awful linemen are coming back. You know, Mississippi State may be going, thank God only 4% of that line. You know what I'm saying? So just like we load talent at receiver the last couple of years with transfers, these people could be loading in with their – I haven't looked at them, what they've taken Oklahoma and Mississippi State and Arkansas on the portal, but just because they're at the bottom, don't count them out. I mean, obviously, you know, some of them need some help up front, but so I kind of look at it a little bit differently. I think I told you guys before, I've had lines where I'm going, thank goodness. No, somebody said, well, good news is you got them all back. But I say, well, the bad news is all those jokers are coming back. They couldn't play dead in the Western last year, you know. So anyway, don't put too much stock into that bottom four or bottom three because reload.
No, it's a good point. I'll say this though, because and Coach, you can probably answer this better than anybody. I mean, the experience. Is something it's invaluable. I mean, it does matter in terms of guys getting reps, and seeing, you know, football at a certain speed, getting comfortable, acclimated to that. The offensive line, though, because it works as a, you know, they work as a unit, probably more so than any other position group out there. They literally, I mean, these guys have to be hive minded. When you do have a group that's worked together for a long time in the same system, that kind of continuity. Does it give you what kind of advantage does it give you? Because we know it gives you an advantage. Are we talking about a huge advantage? Because this O-line, without obviously Christian Jones, so you lost one of your starting offensive linemen. But I know offensive linemen, because of the way they have to work together and communicate without verbal communication all the time, be on the same page and hive-minded. Just guys having that experience together is big. I remember it being big for us even in the secondary when I played. How much of an advantage are we talking about on the O-line for Texas here in the SEC?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's you're exactly right, Rod. It's so much different than the wide receiver room. Yeah. You know, you can put new people in there, and you know, through spring ball and through spring training camp and everything, you know, they can come together. But man, you are so right. Offensive line is a group, and the secondary too. There has to be communication. Yeah. You got to know. You can just look over. You ever been in a situation, Rod? I know you have, where you just look over there at the safety or something. You kind of point, shake your head. Okay, yeah, he's got it. I got it. You know, but a new guy's in there and he looks at you and you don't know what he's thinking and he doesn't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a very, very valid point. Nowhere on the field is that more important than the offensive line, because it's all about those guys. I wish they'd mic them up sometimes so you could hear all the calls that are being made and all the talk that's going on, and a whole lot of it, the offensive line coach might not even know exactly what they're talking about, because when I coached the offensive line in college, those guys would make up calls week to week to tell everybody, okay, this is going to be double team. We're going to rub up to second level. And they had a word for that, but they would change it every week. And you didn't know for sure what they were talking about. But believe me, they're talking and they're communicating the whole time up there before that ball snap. You don't see it. You don't hear it. But it's going on. It's a chatterbox up there up front because they want to make sure everything's covered.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that how important it is for Jake Majors to come back, your center, the guy that sits up there with as many starts and games that he's played under his belt, to be able to diagnose the fronts and the looks and the expected twists or stunts that you're going to see from a front seven on a given play, knowing what the task at hand is with the play call, the play scheme, the blocking, et cetera. You get it. But Jake Majors coming back is big. And I do think with a third-year starter at left tackle, you have a three-year starter at left guard. DJ Campbell took steps at right guard a year ago. He looked much better the final two or three games of the season than he did early on. And, of course, you have experience behind them. You know, Cole Hudson's played a whole year under his belt before this season as a true freshman. He was dinged up a little bit last year, but hey, even then, when he was able to show that he was healthy and get on the field, he is a more than capable you know, plug and place guy for the Longhorns at either guard position. And of course, Nato looks good each time that he gets on the field. John Haney, I see your comment. Nato should be a starter. He was nasty last season against Tech. I can't disagree, but I also have to remember that Texas was up by about 40 or 45 points, in which, you know, I'm sure Texas Tech didn't really want to be on the field any much longer than they had to at that game. So if he wins that job, I think that's a testament to the work that he's put in this offseason. Right now, I do believe it's going to be Hayden Connor to at least start the summer and enter fall camp as that left guard for the Longhorns. Of course, it will be a three-man look once again this fall camp with Cole Hudson, Nato Umeozulu, and Hayden Connor at the moment.
Yeah, good stuff there, CJ. Good breakdown. Okay, really quickly here. I love this comment from John Haney saying, I want to see more six O-line sets to start games, especially early in the season, to establish a run game with bully ball. And I love the six O-line package. They call it the Big 11, Big 12 package. It was Andre Carrick early on, the first couple of years for Sark. Now it's Malik Ogbo, who's that sixth offensive lineman. I'm assuming that he's still going to be that guy. I don't know if they're going to switch out that role or not. But I love the six O-line package. Sark likes to play. Basically, he either wants to use the six O-line package for two reasons, either to play bully ball or he wants to use it to take shots downfield and get extra protection up front. With that sixth offensive lineman base as an extra blocker in, so they can go with some more vertical routes downfield to give Quinn even more time. Now, usually those are, you know, sometimes 2-3-man routes because they're going more of a max protection because they want to get downfield. But you know, Sark can scheme it open. So that's, I love that six online. It's something I think Sark took from and Kyle Flood took from his time in the NFL. It became really popular around the time that Sark was in the league, and Pete Carroll used it when he was in Seattle, and Sark has now taken it to Texas. And I think with your depth on the offensive line, guys, we talk about this all the time. I mean, that's something that seems like it could be not only an asset for Texas in between the 20s, but maybe something Texas can use when they do get down in the red zone too. Give them an extra body. They love the RPO game works really well for them in the red zone. An extra body in the RPO game to help in the run game might work well too. Because think about it, in the RPO game, you're isolating tags, which are pass routes off the RPO. So you don't necessarily need 3-4-man route combinations. You're just isolating one defender and trying to put them in conflict. So you can have the extra blocker for the run element of the RPO and still be able to isolate that defender and put them in conflict. So it really doesn't hurt you not to have extra receivers in the passing game when you're running an RPO in the red zone. So I'm with you there, John. I like that conversation about the sixth offensive lineman. Sark says he wants more versatility, period, with his personnel and with his schemes. And the sixth offensive lineman is another kind of scheme to give his offense a little bit more variety. All right. Thanks for that comment, John. All right. Before we move on, we're expecting a very special guest, Javion Cole, latest member of the transfer portal class for Texas, but coming in this class and the latest member of DBU. So I'm really interested to talk to him about this Texas secondary. But first, let's get a shout out to our sponsor. Really excited that South Point Dodge is on the Owen Texas football team. And we really are thankful for their support and grateful for their support of the winning drive. So, hey, Texas football fans, you can score an easy point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games, and they're not about gimmicks. They're about just getting straight to the point by getting you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them today off I-35 in South Austin, or you can visit them online today at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So we appreciate South Point Dodge, southpointdodge.com. We appreciate them and their support of the winning drive. All right, gentlemen, before like I said, we are expecting a very special guest, but I do want to push the folks who are watching and listening to this over to the On Texas Football website, because there's a fantastic interview my man Jerry Hamilton did with DeCorian Moore. So it is already up there, one-on-one interview that Jerry did with DeCorian Moore, the five-star receiver who a lot of Longhorn fans are hoping, CJ, hoping that he has as much interest in the Longhorns as they have in him. Five-star receiver who I believe has narrowed his choices down to three schools, or at least there are three front runners in this thing, right? And Texas is one of them, of course.
Yeah, Texas, Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State are kind of the three finalists at the moment. Texas out in front. Oregon's playing second fiddle. They feel like there's a chance there. Of course, Texas will have the best opportunity to land him. He has more friends, family members, closer proximity to home at Texas. Of course, Colin Simmons has been in his ear basically every day. You know, he was down here several times watching him run in the Texas relays, the UIL state relays, in which he won four medals not too long ago, earlier this month. So Colin Simmons is putting in the work. Chris Jackson's putting in the work. Steve Sarkisian's putting in the work. And, of course, you know, any quarterback on the campus at the moment, maybe not so much Quinn, but, you know, Arch Manning, Trey Owens, KJ Lacy, they're all in the ear of DeCorian Moore, who is number one on the Texas big board at the moment at the wide receiver spot. Of course, hard to not be when you're the number one quarterback in the or number one wide receiver in the entire country. This is a guy with 10-4, 10-5 speed, incredible body control, great size, can go get the football. Texas, again, I believe Texas is out in front for DeCorian Moore, and I think Oregon's battling second. But go check out that interview with Jerry and DeCorian Moore. We just linked it in the chat just now. Really, really awesome, you know, conversation there, and a really, you know, kind of intriguing one-liner that he dropped in there about where his family wants him to end up. I thought that was really telling about where that recruitment is headed at the moment.
Yeah, you did say he's got family connections here in Austin, right? And that hopefully those family connections in Austin can hopefully they're close family. Let's hope they're really close. So he wants to be with them more. I seen this, speaking of DeCorian Moore, and go check out that interview at ontexasfootball.com. How about this, Coach? Real Analytics, they're a group that tracks ball carriers in real time, GPS tracking, which essentially they get miles per hour on players, how fast they are. They're the ones who clocked Xavier Worthy as the fastest player in college football last season. And turns out they were right. He's the fastest player in the history of the NFL Combine. So they were right about that. They also clocked Jaden Blue as the fastest running back in college football last year. Tells you about his kind of speed. They clocked DeCorian Moore at 22.6 miles per hour. And
what was Xavier?
On one of his plays. Oh, I got to go back and look. I believe he was he at 23 miles per hour, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
I believe CJ, he was at. Remember Real Analytics? I'll go find it. I have it in my notes. Trust me, I will find it. I got it literally in one of these papers right around me. I will find it here. Just give me a couple of seconds. But they got the young man clocked at 22.6 miles per hour on a play. He can run. He can run. So he fits Sark's. Sark's got a type of receiver that he likes, Coach. And he likes speed demons, guys who can fly. He's one of them. But this is interesting, Coach. And CJ, I got to get your thoughts on this. So we'll talk about it too, because I think we're expecting, you know, we may be expecting a special guest. We'll obviously play it by ear here. But it's he's a five-star receiver. And there are two other five-star receivers that Texas fans also are hoping that Texas can land, which would be crazy. Brett Nelson here, who is in the chat. Thank you, Brett, for the question. He says, CJ, do we land Lockett along with Moore and French? Now, for those who don't know, I'm sure by now everybody knows, DeCorian Moore, we just talked about. By the way, go check out the interview at ontexasfootball.com. But there's also the other two five-star receivers. Now, French is from Florida, is he not? The young man, Jimmy French, is from Florida?
Yeah, Manor in Florida, right outside of Orlando.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries.
Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Okay, but Lockett and Moore are both Texas wide receivers in the state. They're Texas fans hoping that Texas can get all three. First of all, there are 32, at least what 247 Sports will tell you. And we'll get into some of these a little bit too. They ranked five stars. And they ranked 32 of them. This is around the country, nationally. 32 five stars in the entire country. Seven of them are from the state of Texas. Seven of them are from Georgia, I believe, too. Just let you know, those are the two kind of powerhouses. But Longhorn fans are hoping – it's hard enough to land one of them, Coach, just one five-star in the class. They're hoping not only do you land multiple five-stars in the class, but multiple five-stars at the same position in a class. And I was on campus when Texas got Roy Williams, B.J. Johnson, and Sloan Thomas, and I believe I'm old. So, exactly. CB, thank you. I don't know, you know what I'm saying, where they stand in terms of the ratings and the scores. TJ, you probably have to hit me to that. I'm not sure about it. But I believe those were three five-stars in the class, and CB confirmed it there, and he remembers it too. Now it's probably hard to find records on that. That was like pre-internet stuff. But that's the last time I remember it happening, and when Mac did that, I mean, he did it because, in part, he had that celebrity quarterback in Chris Sims. Is this just the, I don't know, the gravity of Arch Manning we talking about here? Is that
it's a big part of it. It's also the gravity of what we've seen with Texas put two first rounders or two top 50 NFL draft picks in the league this past season. We've seen that offense put up, you know, gaudy explosive numbers. We've seen Steve Sarkisian utilize his best weapons time and time again, whether it be Bijan, Roshan, Jatavion Sanders, Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell. Those guys have all had massive games on big stages, and that resonates with a lot of kids. You know, they see A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy make those big over-the-shoulder catches for touchdowns against Alabama. Of course, winning by 40 or whatever it was in the Big 12 championship. That means something to these kids. And when you move to the SEC as well and you're going to be playing for Texas in the biggest stage in the country, it means a little bit. And so for Texas right now with those three wide receivers, I think Texas sits in a really good spot for all three. Will you land all three? I think it's a different question. I think Texas is in a great spot for DeCorey Moore. As I mentioned, he's the number one guy on the board. He will always have a spot at Texas. Jamie French also will have a spot at Texas should he deem Texas to be the school for him. Texas has had success in Florida in the past, landed a five-star last year with C.J. Baxter. I think right now Texas is, again, that team to beat over Tennessee for Jamie French and that recruitment. The question for me comes with Kalik Lockett. If those two guys join the class and you're still evaluating your options, do you want to be that third five-star in a class? It certainly could be something where you look at everybody and say, all right, the three of us, we're going to be lined up all over the field. Who can stop us? I understand that 100%. They had that conversation early April when they sat down at one of the Texas big April 6th visits, and they said, all right, KJ Lacy was in front of them. You know, Emory Winston, Texas tight end commit, was also there. They're all sitting there saying, let's play with one another. Let's come here to Texas. Let's put up these big numbers. That was a conversation that they had. But the realistic kind of mindset is, Rod, would you go commit somewhere if there were two other five-star cornerbacks ahead of you in this class? I think that's a realistic, you know, issue to sit back on and say, all right, is this the right fit for me to get to where I want to go? And for right now, it's hard to imagine all three in the same class. It could absolutely happen. And I know Texas likes Kalik Lockett. They've made plenty of stops to Saxey to go see him and establish that relationship. Remember, they did not get him on campus for the January 20th junior day. Would they do that next week? Well, they sent Chris Jackson, Jeff Banks, and Steve Sarkisian out to Saxey to go sit down and talk with him to try to get him back on campus for the spring, and they did. So they like him a lot. They obviously like Jamie French. They love DeCorian Moore. Don't forget about Kelshon Johnson, the speedster out of Hitchcock. He skipped his district track meet to come watch the Texas spring game. So, if Texas goes 3-for-4 out of that bunch, you have to be sitting and being very, very happy with the way that things have shaken up with this class. 3 out of 4 of those guys that I just mentioned, tremendous. Will you go 3-for-3 with the 5-stars? I can't yet say that's to be the case because I have to, again, imagine if I was in those shoes, with two other guys, the best in the country, not to say that Kalik isn't, but realistically, there's one football going around, and how many times did you see Jordan Whittington put up 10 target games a year ago next to A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy? It's just a tough spot to be in for all three of the country's best wide receivers.
Good point. Now, I was not one of the best corners in the country, I don't think. I thought I was, but I wasn't rated as that. But I did come into that class. We had 4 cornerbacks, I thought, come into that class. Actually, we had myself, Dakari Pearson. This is 99, number one class at the time. Dakari Pearson, myself, Kendrick Turner, Monty Collier out of Dallas Carter was in that class too. I didn't realize that. So I did. I believed in myself, CJ. I came in with some corners. I'm like, nah, I'm better than all them dudes. So it's all good. It doesn't really matter.
And Kalik could do that too.
But they want all 5-star. We want all 5-star. See, that's different. It's different than myself. I'm just saying it's a little different. So I'll go to that 2000 receiver class that CB brought up. That's probably the best example of it. Because you do have a celebrity quarterback coach and Chris Sims back in the day. And I think it was very appealing to those guys to come in. And they thought, and I think they actually thought Texas was going to spread it out a little bit more in 2000. They didn't. They should have spread things out with those guys and put them all together all at the same time, all the time. And that's probably the closest I can remember Texas getting multiple 5-star players at the same. That's a good question. How often, CJ, have they gotten multiple 5-star players at the same position in the class? They definitely did it in 2000 with them receivers. How often does that happen? It can't happen that often. It's literally, coach, it's statistically impossible for it to happen that often. Ain't that many of them.
This is actually a good point. Ohio State does have a lot of 5-star receivers on campus right now. None of them, I won't say no. All 6 of those weren't in the same class. 3 of them weren't all in the same class.
Yeah.
You go in, you add your big guys, you go get Jeremiah Smith, the number one receiver a year ago out of Florida to commit to Ohio State. He was not in that class again with another 5-star guy. So they sit around and they pick when to go add him. And, of course, they have a few guys who have yet to turn out to what that 5-star title was going to be. Emeka Egbuka was a guy that they expected to transfer out. So Caleb Burton did transfer out. He was a borderline 5-star guy on the iffy side. But, they don't always pan out, and it's not always, the best case for these guys to, go with where the trend is.
Yep. No, it's a good point. I agree with that. So it's interesting. Okay, so here's I saw that the 247 Sports, like I said, they had 32 5-stars listed here. 7 of them are from the great state of Texas. 4 out of the 7, though, how about this, Coach, from that DFW area? So 4 out of the 7 5-stars from the state of Texas are from that DFW. I think it's 1 from the Houston area. That's Devin Sanchez, the cornerback out of North Shore, committed to Ohio State, by the way. By the way, Ohio State's got 3 of the guys committed on this list already. USC has 3. And then there is A&M, Auburn, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, LSU, each have 1. But Texas, obviously, we just talked about it. They're trying to put in some work. So 2 receivers that are from the state of Texas that are considered 5-stars on this list. And those are the most. Texas with 7, Georgia with 7. Georgia has overtaken places like California. The big 3 is now Texas, Georgia, and then Florida in terms of producing the most productive or most draftable talent are the best college football players out there. So the Longhorns will be trying. I don't know, to make history. I'm going to go back and try to do a deep dive and find out how often. Really, you probably can do it around the country. How often a school signs multiple 5-star players at the same position? It just doesn't. Like I said, CJ, it can't happen a lot. Do you remember it happened recently for Texas? Have they done that recently at all? There's no way.
2022, they signed 2 of their 7 offensive linemen, DJ Campbell and Kelvin Banks. Now, they weren't the same position, right? DJ Campbell was an interior offensive lineman. Kelvin Banks was the number one offensive tackle in the country. But, broadly speaking, 2 5-star offensive linemen. in which Texas hadn't signed a five-star offensive lineman since, I want to say, 2009. So it had been almost 15 years in between. Texas, obviously, Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian came in right away and said, no. You guys are not going to Oregon. You guys are not going to Miami. We need y'all down here. And sure enough, they've panned out pretty well for the Longhorns.
Speaking of O-line, I've heard this name, Michael Fasusi.
Yep.
He is a one of the offensive linemen that's on that list of five stars there. All right, so there you go. That is a lot of talk about the receivers here for Texas. And you got Ryan Wingo right there. So you're talking about stockpiling elite talent at wide receiver. That guy's a five-star. And coach, I mean, he's going to play. Right, coach, this year, Ryan Wingo, you can't keep him off the field, right, coach?
Yeah, no, you can't. In fact, we talked last week about the possibility of him emerging and being that playmaker guy, the third down guy that you go to, you know, when you got to have a big play, because he certainly has proven that he has the capability, the body control, the mindset, the maturity, the athleticism to go in and make contested catches.
Yeah. No, that guy's he's special, man. And they got a lot of guys right now at the wide receiver position that I think are really going to be some playmakers for Texas. Okay, here's another interesting article. I saw this article over at ESPN, guys, and it's basically a piece projecting kind of what Texas is going to be based on some of the new additions. And it's basically talking about transfer portal additions as well as, you know, the guys who came in, basically new additions via the transfer portal or new additions via recruiting. And ESPN, they call it the newcomer class rankings. So just newcomers, period, to the team. And they ranked Texas number one on their newcomer class rankings. Talking about the recruiting class combined with the transfer portal additions. They say Texas has the best newcomer class overall in college football for the 2024 season. What are your guys' thoughts about that? And Texas, by the way, is going to add, they added more with early enrollees than they've ever had, in history of the program, in the modern history of the program. The transfer portal acquisitions, I haven't looked at their transfer portal rankings, but in terms of top 50 players, they're among the programs with the most top 50 transfer portal acquisitions. What are your thoughts about Coach Texas having the best class of newcomers, and how many of these guys, newcomers overall, that includes the recruiting class as well as the transfer portal additions, how many of those guys do you expect to make an immediate impact? Who are the guys that stand out to make an immediate impact of this class that right now a lot of expectations for this group?
Well, yeah, you're right, and I think that's deserved. I mean, I don't know for sure what everybody in the country has. I haven't kept up with who everybody assigned, but I certainly would think it would be difficult for a team to have more new players on the roster, impact players on the roster, than what Texas signed. The receivers, they've all proven that they can play. I'm just looking at those transfers there. Amari is a guy that I'm really, I really think he's a guy that's going to step up and get a lot of playing time at tight end. Trey Moore, how are you going to keep him off the field? You know, Sabea, Makuba, those guys. Of course, Cole is a guy that maybe hasn't played at the same level that some of these guys have played at in terms of competition. But it's obvious the guy, I'm looking forward to talk. I understand he's having some internet connections. I don't know for sure if he's going to be able to make it today. He may wind up being on tomorrow afternoon's live stream when he gets back home. But I'm anticipating one of the things I want to ask him was the fact that he's played at two smaller schools and he's working his way up. How big a chip on his shoulder does he have in terms of feeling like he was overlooked and he's got something to prove? Though, as you guys know, I talk about it every week. That is huge, mm-hmm. And if that guy comes in with a chip on his shoulder and doesn't get carried away with all the things that Texas does to people sometimes. Now, Sarkis and his staff have done a good job of keeping kids grounded, but there's a reason that kids came to Texas and all of a sudden felt like they were entitled because they were treated like gods. And when you look around at the facilities and everything that's going on, all the talk, and all that stuff. It's easy to get caught up in that and forget that you are a player on a mission, you know? And so that's one thing I was hoping to talk to Cole about, but you know, Norton, I mean, you know, those guys, I don't know who's got, I still have to go back to Wingo, you know, I mean, I don't know that anybody will make a bigger impact than him. Obviously some of the receivers, you know, Isaiah, you know, played in a lot, you know, some really huge games and has come through, but, but I love, you know, I talk about Wingo every week too, but I don't know that there's a guy on there that's not going to make an impact this year.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Which is, you know, kind of a testament to the staff, right? You know, you don't just go out to add pieces because you want to add pieces and you have room. Texas has gone out. We've seen this last cycle as well. When Texas has room to, you know, go out and put other, you know, portal additions into their program, they find places and find meaningful players to do so. And, of course, we've talked about the lack of, you know, experienced bodies, I would say, on the interior defensive line after Troll Carter portals. You see Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat the part. You go out and you add three, right? You know, you don't waste any time there. They did the same thing with the wide receivers, Jatavion Sanders departs. You know that Gunnar Helm's going to be a viable option, but at the same time, you have a tremendous threat in the middle of your field that you had with Jatavion Sanders. Not saying Gunnar Helm can't be that, but he hasn't yet proven that. You know who has? The kid from Alabama, Amari Nyblack. So they've gone out and addressed the portal for every need that they've had arise so far this offseason to a tremendous degree. And, of course, when you talk about Ryan Wingo, Colin Simmons, Xavier Filsimi, some of these new incoming early enrollees, you've already seen some of their impact as well. And it's been something I think Texas can build upon to bolster that depth going into the fall, because you might be playing 15, 16 games. You're going to need all those bodies that you can have. And, of course, when you continue to recruit big-time talent, it only helps your program become more attractive to that next level, and we're seeing that right now in 2025. And that 2026 list of visitors for June 1st, the Elite Camp, doesn't look too shabby either. So it trickles down a little bit. And, of course, Texas ready to have a top-five roster once again this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top 100 transfers, and Texas has, I believe, five of the top 50, actually, top 50 transfers within this group. So you're right about that, CJ. They went out and they got impact players via the transfer portal and guys that could help kind of fill holes on this roster. And if I'm looking at who I expect to make the biggest impacts, you know, I love what Coach said. Like I said, we brought up Ryan Wingo because I'm with you. I don't know how you keep that guy off the field, but the wide receiver position, period. I mean, I think you're going to go five, potentially even six deep. I think they really like a young, you know, DeAndre Moore. So I'm going to throw him in the mix. And I want to say they go maybe five, six early on in the season, rotating receivers. And then we'll see who earns Sark's, you know, trust after that. But between Bond, Golden, Bolden, who's now on campus too, Wingo, Jonte Cook, can't forget about Cook, UT boy won't like that, and DeAndre Moore, I'm going to throw him in there just because he might have been the one that was getting the most, you know, most pub early on in spring, and people kept talking about his advancement, and I think that's six of them right there. I think you might end up with six in a rotation. It's been a long time, I think, since Sark has rotated that many receivers, even when he was at Bama. I'm not sure he got to six. I know with Mechie in there with the four first rounds with Ruggs and Judy and Waddle and Smith, and I think Mechie at one point was thrown in there too, like in that group later on. So I think they went five, but six deep at receiver, man, that's deep for anybody. That's really deep. And Texas right now, I think, may have that kind of depth. So that receiver group and, of course, the D-tackle room with Bill Norton. And I agree with what you said, CJ. He's probably the only one that really can play that nose position for you consistently. So I don't know if there's any player that's more important than Bill Norton coming in with this class. All right, so there you go. The newcomer class for the Longhorns. Ranked as the best newcomer class by the ESPN rankings. So we'll get back to some more of your questions. So throw those out there, as many of them as you want to. We'll try to answer as many questions as we can before the show's out. Coach mentioned it. Yeah, we've had received news that Javion Cole will not be joining us. He's got some internet issues, some connectivity issues. So sorry about the false tease. He's not going to join us today, but he's going to join one of the live streams either tomorrow or maybe this weekend. So tomorrow's live stream is at 1. That's the afternoon live stream. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that he's going to join us for that. But I guarantee you, we'll get Javion Cole on. They've already agreed on him coming on to the shows. They just don't know exactly when they're going to work that out. But speaking of, in the meantime, go check out the DeCorian Moore interview that my man Jerry Hamilton did, because Jerry Hamilton does a great job. He did a sit-down, kind of a one-on-one interview. I don't even know if he was sitting down, but it's a one-on-one interview with DeCorian Moore. So go check that out on TexasFootball.com. All right. Appreciate you guys with all the questions. CJ, Vivek wants to know, are you expecting any commits this weekend? I know, speaking of Jerry had the, what is his little emoji he throws out there? When
a little high.
A little high. That usually means something's going on. Is something going on?
By the end of the month, it wouldn't surprise me to see at least two go public. And, of course, one of them in which Texas is very much involved with is Louisiana Calvary Baptist running back James Simon. Right now, Texas is the only official visit that's set for him at the moment. He has a decision next Wednesday afternoon, May 29th. So we'll see exactly what's going on there. All signs pointing to Texas. Of course, he was on campus for the spring game April 20th. And then Tashard Choice dropped by the next week after to go see him in person again. Texas looks like they're in a great spot for him, but there's another one that I'm keeping an eye on as well before then.
Okay. All right. There you go. Coach, I want to throw this one to you. It comes from Isaac, actually. Isaac, thank you for the question. In the past, we talked about how JT was Quinn's go-to guy whenever he needed to just get rid of the ball and keep the chains moving. Who do you guys think that guy will be this season for Quinn? We've talked about this a little bit because I think there will be different roles, because Xavier Worthy was your wide receiver one, right? He was your wide receiver one. A.D. Mitchell seemed to be the red zone guy. And I agree. I think J.T. Sanders ended up being really a money down guy when Quinn really needed it. Quinn was in trouble. Safety blanket, I guess, has been thrown on there. He was looking for JT. I think you got enough skill to do that. But, Coach, who do you think is going to be, I guess, the quote-unquote go-to guy? I think that's it's a different definition than a go-to guy. Because I would say Xavier Worthy might have been the go-to guy and JT might have been a safety blanket. But give me your thoughts about the different roles you think that guys are going to play for Quinn this year.
Well, I don't even know that the coaches know for sure who that guy is going to be. That's Quinn true. Probably has a pretty decent idea from all the time he spends with them. But, you know, I think that's something that they're going to have to feel their way through the first couple of games and see who shines under the light, so to speak. You know, I think that we've got a lot of speed. We've got a lot of versatility out there. We've got a lot of athleticism. But in terms of you know, JT doesn't fit all those terms, does he? He doesn't fit as incredibly athletic, fast, certainly wasn't strong, but he knew how to get open. He knew how to find open spots. He knew how to position his body. He knows how to high point the ball, and he knows how to bring it down in traffic. And, you know, I don't know which one of those guys is going to be. I think Wingo has a good shot of being that third down guy that you have to money guy that you have to go to get a first down. But I haven't seen enough from those other three guys, especially in our system, only having seen them in the spring ball game to know who that's going to be. But if Wingo's not this year, I think it will certainly be that safety valve that every quarterback dreams of having that'll pull you out of a bind and get that big first down that you need.
Yep. I think it could be, you know, I could see it being a Jonte Cook if Jonte Cook became a really dependable guy and consistent on those downs. You know, someone tells me Isaiah Bond's going to kind of take up the role that Xavier Worthy has. So if you want to call that the go-to guy, you can. But I think we're talking about who Quinn's going to look to when he's in either in trouble or when he's got to have it. And not just and Xavier Worthy was just kind of that, you know, hey, he's going to be the featured wide receiver of the offense. We're going to run the passing game through him. But that oftentimes can be a different person than who you're looking to on money downs in the red zone. I think it was last year was a perfect example of it because he knew A.D. Mitchell could win one-on-ones consistently, and you get one-on-ones in the red zone consistently. And that's why, as we talked about this a little bit on Football Theory, Coach, he was thinking players and not plays a lot of the times when he go down to A.D. Mitchell. I just got to engineer a one-on-one. That guy will go win the one-on-one. Hey, Quinn, he's going to win the one-on-one. Throw it to the right. Make sure your ball placement's on the money because he's going to win. You just got to put it in the right spot. And then there's JT, who I think the person in the chat, I think he accurately described him. When Quinn was in trouble, no money downs, he would go to him. So my hope is that there's enough variety of the offense that, you know, you can have different guys play different roles for the team in that way. And I think Sark can do that. He proved that last year. But is this group of receivers as talented and as, you know, that group was experienced? Do they have the chemistry and continuity with Quinn? We don't necessarily know that. And that's, by the way, Sark said when at Josh Pate interview, he said that was the one thing he was concerned about. Chemistry with the wide receivers and the timing and the precision between he and Quinn. It's going to be a big offseason for Quinn. They got a lot, Coach, they got a lot of free time without having to go to school. They need to be on out there passing, out there throwing. Lots of throwing, man. Lots of throwing between Quinn and those receivers trying to get on the same page this year. All right, let's get to a couple more questions. And then we'll get to, hopefully, actually, I want to get to thank one of our sponsors. And before we get out of here, we'll try to get to as many questions as I can, but I'll get to one or two here. First, let's get to David Keith Williams. This one's for me. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Said this isn't a question specifically about DBs playing cohesively, but what's your view about UT having fair to good DBs that play well together compared to just having two truly great DBs? Basically, it depends on where the truly great DBs are. If I would love to have a shutdown corner that I didn't have to worry about it, ever have to help. I didn't have to roll coverage to him. I don't have to worry about helping him. I can trust him in zero or man coverage to lock up his guy, and then we can take them both out of the equation. I don't think PK has had that luxury. So PK has made sure that he puts in like racy safeguards within the defense. So if there's help for the secondary and help for the corners, that's why they don't play as much man to man as Sark wants them to. Sark wants to play a lot man to man. Sark wants to play aggressive bump and run man to man. And if he had the corners that he believed could do that, I think they would play bump and run man to man as much as they possibly could. And then try their best to either zone up the rest of it or trust that their safety or whoever their safety corner nickel is, I should say nickel slot is, that they would be able in kind of a tango situation that they'd be able to handle any of the interior receivers, whether it be a tight end, another receiver, running backs, but you can kind of isolate your corners on the outside. If you got two really good safeties, or say you got one good safety and one good corner that's elite, that also is going to change up who you protect. You can't protect everybody if you're a defensive coordinator. I can't protect everybody. Somebody's going to potentially be exposed based on the coverage that I call, because I only got 11 guys, and I can't defend all things at one time. I got to pick what I defend. I got to pick what I'm going to emphasize. And sometimes they're going to leave some guys out on an island without a lot of help. And I think for PK, based on your personnel, if you trust them, then there are certain guys you figure, I don't need to help him in coverage. He can handle himself. Even if he gets beat, he won't be a game-breaking touchdown. It won't be an explosive play. So I think as a defensive coordinator and coach, you probably can answer this as well. Would you game plan specifically based on personnel that you believe are high-level defenders, that I trust this guy in this situation so I can leave him exposed, because him being exposed is not as much of a disadvantage as with some of the other players when they're exposed without support and help?
I think you have plan A and you have plan B. You have plan A and you go into a game and you're going to go see if your guys can handle it. You know, if they can take care of it by themselves with no help. If they don't, then you're going to have to change what you're doing and get them a little bit of help. And then you're just kind of playing, you know, whatever is it, you know, don't let anything behind you. Just don't get beat. Keep everything in front of you. Rally to the ball kind of philosophy defensively. Or are you really trying to shut them down? And what a great feeling it is to have two shut down corners. And, you know, it really gives you a lot of confidence defensively, you know, when you're going into the game, knowing that you have that. Personally, to answer his question, from my opinion, I would rather have, you know, two great guys, and I'm assuming the other two guys are very – I'd rather have four guys that really work well together as a team, keep the – you know, just make the offense make a mistake. You know, just be where you're supposed to be, work well together, communicate, don't let anybody behind you, don't give up explosive plays, and just let the defense make a mistake, and then hopefully – you know, the offense can get you out of the game. But it's so frustrating to have, you know, two really good guys out there than two guys that are a liability.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own Crunchventure with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's hopefully Texas this year, they don't have either one of those situations. Hopefully this year they just have high level defenders in the secondary that make a huge leap in improvement. I think adding Makuba to the mix is going to help. You know, I think Malik Muhammad's going to be great. I'm not saying he's going to be a shutdown defender yet. I think he's got that kind of upside, but I'm not saying he's there yet. And then having Jahdae Barron in there, Derek Williams, I think is going to take a huge lift. I like the starting secondary for Texas, and we'll see what that other corner, Gavin Holmes, Javion Cole. I think that's the other potential problem area, but I like the frontline guys for Texas. The question is about the depth, but that group, like I said, they shouldn't be a weakness this year. But based on what we saw in the spring game, I understand concern that Longhorns have about that. All right. I do want to ask you guys just really quickly, because I know we're getting close to the end of it, about the story in college football, the ever-changing story, the changing landscape of college football. There is a story from Yahoo Sports, actually, about schools having trouble closing the financial gap they're going to deal with when revenue sharing becomes, you know, policy of the NCAA, when they actually have to share some of the revenue. And the numbers that have been thrown out, guys, is somewhere between $22 and $30 million that it's going to cost per school to keep up with the Joneses in terms of keeping up with the finances of revenue sharing. And in this article, it points out that one of the possibilities is for schools, programs, to look at private capital or private equity firms who would essentially infuse cash into athletic programs, giving them the cash they need to supplement the money so that they can take care of their financial responsibilities of revenue sharing. And they say as much as $200 million potentially. This company, it's called Redbird Capital, by the way. They added $4.7 billion in capital. I'm not making this up. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. They added $4.7 billion to its arsenal for endeavors. And now they have $10 billion, apparently, in equity and private capital they're willing to invest in college programs who need it. He says he's talked to as many as 50 FBS programs about giving them as little as $50 million, as much as $200 million. They would pay it back over time. It's almost, I guess, kind of like a loan. And he says they're into private capital, not private equity. But this is something that apparently could be a reality when revenue sharing is approved and it is part of the new framework of college football. What are your thoughts about this, gentlemen? I mean, we're in a strange new world where you may have college programs who don't necessarily have the money to participate in major college football, and they may be looking for private equity and private capital, people investing in college football programs. Wow.
It's crazy. That's about as much as I can sum it up, right? Thank goodness Texas will be joining the SEC when you're getting these media rights deals that are going to, what, 60, 70 million a year,
yeah,
right?
They don't have to worry about it. They're fine.
Helps a ton, you know. Yes. Of course, Texas is fortunate enough to have some tremendous donors, some big SIGs back in the background that have done a tremendous job in helping, you know, facelift DKR, you know, whether it be the Dish, you know, McCombs Field, obviously the Moody Center as well. It's nice to be in this position, but for some schools that are struggling, especially with the change to NIL, to get that money up front and ready for these guys out of high school, it makes a lot of sense for this to be the route, right? You're going to have to stick up and be a part of this changing age one way or the other. And the only way that you can ensure that you're up to par with, you know, the Joneses basically is to go this route. It's crazy to think, you know, years ago that this would be where we're at, but it makes all the sense in the world on paper. I wonder what the true number of teams and what percentages that they will take down the road that will be a part of this right now. I question whether a Michigan, a Texas, maybe a Georgia, will they need it? You know, Alabama, I think will. I think that they were a little bit behind in terms of the NIL space. But, you know, some of these schools with the massive endowment, the massive amount of, you know, big money donors, it would make sense for them to not need it as much.
I think this is where you're going to start seeing the super conference. This is where you're going to see teams start separating. There are a lot of programs out there. The revenue that football is bringing in is what's not only keeping the athletic department afloat, but in some instances, the school afloat. But a lot of them, the way that they're able to keep their athletic program funded and going is through the revenue that they get from football. Mm-hmm. You start having to divvy up that money with the players. Now, there's just people that are going to have to fold. They're going to have to fold the cards and say, we got to look for another conference. We can't do this. our school will eventually go under. We can't go out and basically get a loan from a private equity group. How are we going to pay that back? You know, at what point is our things going to get so good that we can pay $20 million back or whatever it is? And I really think that the fact that people have lost their intestinal fortitude, like the NCAA, which they're forced to this because of lawsuits. I just think you're going to have the haves and the have nots, and it's going to be a very distinguishable line. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have separate divisions, or however it's, I don't know how else could it shake out? You're going to have the people that can afford it and the people that can't, and the people that can't are not going to want to, nor can they compete with the people that can.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just nope. I totally agree with you, Coach. It's definitely more of a, I think it's going to be more glaring, the have and between the have and the have nots. And I don't know what the alternative is for the schools who say, okay, we can't afford it. What's our alternative? What do we do? Like, what's the other option for us if we can't afford it? Is this these private equities, private capital firms? I guess that's another option for them. But like you said, Coach, how are they going to pay that back in the end too as well? So it'll be really interesting. I don't even know how that works for state institutions, if you can even do that, or you got to be a private school to, you know, do that. It is a brave new world that college sports is embarking on. All right, there you go. So that's kind of the macro conversation about college sports, and it can be it can give you a headache. It can be mind numbing at times, but the change is coming, folks. We just want to make sure we keep you guys just abreast of everything going on, so you're not slapped in the face with it when you go, hold up, what, they're paying the players? What the hell's going on? Like, yeah, man, they're paying the players. It's happening. All right, before we get ready to get out of here, let's get a couple of more questions here. CJ, Vivek wants to know, how would you rate Lacey amongst the group at Elite 11? Which team has to commit there at the Elite 11 quarterback camps that Vivek is talking about there? I haven't looked at the entire list. I don't know if you have the list in front of you there, CJ, of the Elite 11 group.
No, Lacey will be there. It's he earned his invitation down here, Austin Westlake, a few weeks ago, then took on a Texas spring camp visit as well the day after. He looked good. I thought he and Keelan Russell were probably the two best quarterbacks there. Both of them, in fact, did earn offers and invitations to the Elite 11 finals. Julian Lewis is that guy for me. He's the number one quarterback in the country. I like the kid from Tennessee, or that's committed to Tennessee as well. The four of them, you know, really, really talented guys. I'm excited to see that opening in person and see, you know, just how that goes. Because, again, I think that's one of the more fun things that you see on a given, you know, recruiting cycle, is how these quarterbacks look all together. There wasn't much of a separation, I thought, between Keelan Russell and KJ Lacey in person. They threw one right in front of the other the entire afternoon. So for me, it wasn't that crazy of an afternoon to see who that number one guy was. We'll see that a little bit more in the finals a little bit when it comes to these guys throwing against 10, 12 of the nation's best quarterbacks as well.
All right. Thank you for that, CJ. We appreciate it. Also, since we're talking about recruiting here, John, this is a question from earlier. He wants to know, anyone else think that five-star athlete Michael Terry is similar to Wingo? He has similar size and speed and can play several positions. I've not watched five-star athlete Michael Terry yet. CJ, do you think does he have similarities to Ryan Wingo? If he does, sign him today.
Yeah, no, height and weight wise, sure. You know, and I think he's got good speed. Michael Terry's a 10.88 guy. I think, you know, Ryan Wingo was a low 10.3s, 10.5. Yeah. So, like, there's a quarter of a difference of a second there in terms of speed. I think Michael Terry's a tremendous football player. Where he will fit the next level, I think that's kind of up for debate. You know, I think there's more wiggle in the game of Ryan Wingo. There's better body control. You know, some teams are recruiting Michael Terry is a running back, others at linebacker, others as a defensive back. So there's no question he's a great athlete. I think in terms of how he's used as an athlete is a little bit different than what we see with Ryan Wingo, who, as Coach mentioned, when the ball's up in the air, he just goes and gets it, right? That's part of the body control. That's part of the hands. And I think that's the difference in between the two of them. Not to say that Terry's not a bad player and he won't find a great home. Of course, Texas will have an official visit with him June 7th through 9th. Oregon looks like they might be that team out in front at the moment. Where will he play on the on the football field? That's the big question. I think that's what's hindering him from becoming maybe a Ryan Wingo 2.0. I think he's better fit as a defensive back or a linebacker at the next level.
All right. Thank you for the breakdown there, CJ. All right. Before we get out here, we got to thank another one of our fantastic sponsors. We really are grateful to have Flat Creek Estate as a part of the Owen Texas football family. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, folks, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in the awards right now. It's just a few minutes outside of Austin, from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs. So now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate also is a gorgeous venue. I can attest, I've been there, hosting events for the whole family all spring. You can check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to have a great date night or a great date weekend with your significant other. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more info, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. All right. See, just so y'all know, I actually do drink Flat Creek. Boom. This is the super chat. Look at that.
Look at that.
So we're at the end of the show.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Rod. Come on.
It's official, baby. It's 5 o'clock. So I'm pouring me up a glass of the Super Texan. I'd recommend it. It's pretty damn good. Here you go. So it's a toast to the Owen Texas football family and our friends at Flat Creek Estate. Boom. How you like that?
Is that a gloop, gloop, gloop or gloop, 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 gloop?
Oh, that's a gloop, 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 gloop.
Yeah.
All right. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
One time, I said, "Pour me a drink." I said, "How much?" He said, "Gloop, gloop, gloop."
Three of them. I'll take three. Four of them. Yeah. No, but we appreciate Flat Creek Estate, man. They are it's great wine, but also it's a great venue too. So go check it out, flatcreekestate.com. All right, getting ready to get out of here. Before we do, I think there's one last question that we did not answer. Vivi, this is for you, Coach. He said, "Coach, did you ever see any crazy conflict between the assistant coaches while you were at Texas?" The conflict happens a lot between coaches, right? It happens all the time. You guys are almost like, you know, you're like brothers. Y'all around each other all the damn time. So when you guys, it's more bickering, and it's not necessarily fighting. Y'all just may disagree, bicker, but then y'all act, it's like siblings, like brothers. Y'all act like it never happened. Am I right about that? I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, no, I didn't see anything like that. First of all, there wasn't a head coach that I worked for. And I worked for a lot of them. I worked for Mac Brown. I worked for Charlie Strong. I worked for Tom Herman. I worked for Steve Sarkisian. There's not any of those guys that would put up with that for a second. Mm. So, you know, I've heard about it sometimes, and you see occasionally a clip of two guys on the sidelines. But, man, you're family. You know, you may not like each other, but you respect each other, because you spend so much time up there, and there's nothing that'll kill a program more than, you know, than coaches getting after it and arguing and fighting in front of the players. Now, not in front of the players. Yeah. I've seen some guys get real heated, but when they walked out, it was all business, or you weren't going to be there. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. No, it's a united front, but yeah, coaches, they get into it.
I had a lance of DKR up in the press box with the GA one time. I mean, don't mess with OG now. I just couldn't measure up while looking up going, uh-oh, I ain't never seen that before.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it can happen. Like I said, but I don't think it's not – I don't think if they hold grudges with it. I don't think it's – usually just it's right on the spot, a disagreement. They may have it out, but then the coaches are done with it. They move on. Hey, just like teammates. Teammates get into it. That's we get into it all the time. Players get into it. We're brothers. But we get into it, we move on, or they settle it under the storm. That used to be, if it gets that bad, then we got to take it to the storm, because we don't fight. We don't fight each other's teammates. Very, very rarely you're going to see a knockout, drag-out fight between teammates. We have what we call, we take it to the storm. That means we could police it, and then they would have to wrestle. No fight, no punches thrown. You wrestle under the storm. That was the it was the painting on the ceiling of, yeah, Coach knows it, on the ceiling of the locker room. And that's what we would go. We'd Lord of the Flies that thing. Like, all right, y'all disagree. Y'all been fighting and basically bickering for like 3 days. I need y'all to go under the storm. We'll make sure nobody gets hurt, because somebody got hurt. Coach Brown, oh, man, everybody going to be running for days. So we got to make sure nobody actually gets hurt. But they'd wrestle it out. It'd be like a great wrestling match, man. And we'd referee it. Oh, no, man, you get him in chokehold. Get out of chokehold. All right, now go back in it. And we settle it. And then after that, we'd put it to bed, shake hands like gentlemen, and we move on. Oh, the storm set up many disputes under the storm. There you go. All right. So I want to thank Coach for everything that he gives us, all that wisdom. We appreciate it. CJ, thanks for all of your notes and your knowledge. We appreciate that. Thanks, my man Matthew, behind the scenes. None of this is possible without Matthew. All the great graphics, all the stuff that we pull up for the chats, that's all Matt behind the scenes, folks. So we got to thank him. He's the real MVP. We want to thank the good folks over at South Point Dodge for all their support, and thank our good friends over at Flat Creek Estate as well. Sorry with it. We didn't have the Javion Cole interview, but that will happen. That's going to happen on Texas Football probably tomorrow on the 1 o'clock live stream. So if you're looking for that, that's probably where it's going to be. But go check out the DeCorian Moore interview over at Owen Texas Football. Jerry Hamilton did it with him. Great stuff. Go check. Matter of fact, I'm about to go check it out. Truth be told, I haven't checked it out. I'm going to go check it out right after the show, too. Folks, we appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for helping us build this Owen Texas Football family. Until next time. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, Coffee and Football, right, CJ? Coffee and Football?
Coffee and Football, 8 o'clock. And, of course, Longhorn live stream Friday edition at 1 p.m. as well.
Boom. There you go. That's my man CJ is on it. Until next time, folks, same time, same channel for the winning drive. Remember, it's Mondays and Thursdays. Around 4:15, we get started. Try to wrap it up around 5:30. Thank you guys for joining us. Until next time, hook 'em.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.